So glad that we can sing, "We are complete in Jesus," aren't you? And so good to be able to know that truth, that we are complete in Him. This evening, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 21. Often before we have revival services, we'll look to a passage of Scripture that I hope will help to prepare our hearts for that special time when we seek to give a little extra to the Lord, a little more of our time, more of our attention, more of our energy. I know that it is a sacrifice for folks to come out additionally during a week, and I trust that you will plan to do so, but I believe it's important that we just set aside time to focus on God and what He has for us. And tonight, as we start thinking that direction, God has led to Revelation 21. We often use the word new in different contexts. Sometimes good, sometimes not. When we think about things that are new, a new vehicle, a new home, new outfit, a new relationship, a new savings account. These are good, typically speaking. But then there are other times if we talk about a new hurt or a new problem at the house. You know, you've already had 21 things go wrong this week, and now there's something new that's gone wrong. A new mechanical issue on the car. When we talk about a new problem, a new debt, a new health crisis, a new war, these things are not typically good, depending on the context. New in that context is often painful. And there are times in our lives where we endure a lot of new, good and bad. Revelation 21 describes John's first view of what he calls a new heaven and a new earth. In this vision that was given to John, there is not an abundance of details for the new heaven and new earth, but there is a list of some very positive things that are there and positive things not there. In verses 5 through 8, Jesus himself speaks from the throne about this place, and I want us to read verses 1 through 8 as we begin. Notice Revelation 21 beginning in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And He said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want you to catch again there verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, this is Jesus speaking, behold, I make all things new. This thrilling passage should draw our hearts toward heaven. Are you looking forward to with anticipation to being with Jesus in eternity? To be in heaven? To be in that place where there is no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no more pain? What a joy! And what excitement we can look forward to that place, that day. Yes, this passage draws our attention to heaven, but I want you to notice that this passage also can help us right now. What did Jesus say from the throne in verse 5? If you didn't catch it, look there again. The first thing he said was, behold, I make all things new. Yes, the statement is in eternity and in heaven. The interpretation, though, and the application are not limited to eternity in heaven, because John heard Jesus say these words in the first century, over 1900 years ago. And Jesus did not say, as he looked forward to being in eternity, behold, I will make all things new. What did Jesus say to John in the first century, 1900 years ago? What was it? I make all things new. Present tense. As John was penning these words, likely around AD 90, he was able to copy Jesus' words in that present tense. I make all things new. Then, in AD 90, Jesus was already busy making all things new. Friends, today in 2022, late February, Jesus is making all things new. He is still doing that work. Yes, there is application to his work to bring all things to conclusion in eternity, but there are individual applications for your life and mine even now. And I want us to consider for a few moments all things new. And as we listen and reflect, I want to encourage you to depend on, to go to glory in Christ who makes all things new. And perhaps tonight, there is something in your life that needs to be made new. Perhaps tonight there is something that needs to be renewed. Perhaps tonight, or as we look forward to revival services, there is something that needs to be revived in you. Jesus is the one who makes all things new. Let us look to Revelation 21 as a jumping point into this thought, all things new. I want you to consider, first of all, this evening, that Jesus offers a new start. Jesus offers to people a new start. And this applies to so many ways, to different people, people who need salvation, people who have messed up, people who haven't given their best, and we could go on. Often you and I need a new start. We need to hit the reset button, as it were. Interestingly, research that was conducted by the University of Maryland, specifically dealing with people who have that phenomenon called lazy eyes, they found that that condition can possibly be reversed if a person with a lazy eye or lazy eyes sits in complete darkness for 10 days. As that person sits in complete darkness for 10 days, the darkness actually causes the brain to readjust. And the sight centers of the brain restore their plasticity, giving the lazy eye that the brain was ignoring a chance to communicate with the brain again. And often after 10 days in complete darkness, that reset of the brain allows that eye and the brain to communicate again, and it restores, it renews that eye. You know, the reality is, just as darkness pushes a reset button in the brain in that case, there are times in your life and mine when we need to hit the reset button by coming into a near connection with and hearing from God. That's what the preaching of the Word of God is for. That's why often we may set aside additional time with revival services to bring us under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God more, so that we can hit the reset button, because often in your life and mine, we need a new start. In different areas of our lives, we at times need to hit the reset button. For you, that may be true of life in general. You may just feel the need that you have really messed up, and you wish you could just hit the reset button and start all over. You may sense a deep sense of brokenness, emptiness, and hopelessness as you survey life and reflect on your own life. Can I ask you, do you know Jesus? Jesus makes all things new. If you do not know Him, let me introduce Him to you this evening. Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth. He entered and participated in our brokenness. The Bible tells us He is a high priest who is touched with all the feelings of our infirmities. He was the Son of God in glory, and He came down to this earth. For our sakes, He became poor. He entered and participated in our brokenness. He's the perfect Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. You see, sin is the root of our brokenness, emptiness, and hopelessness. But by His death on the cross, Jesus broke the power of sin. By His resurrection from the grave, Jesus took the authority from sin and death. And He offers us eternal life, new life. And you can have it freely by trusting in Him. Do you need a new start? Jesus makes all things new. It does not matter how much you've messed up your life, how much someone else has messed up your life. Bring your emptiness, your brokenness, your hopelessness to Jesus, and He will make you new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Perhaps tonight, though, you're a child of God and you need a new start. The reality is that brokenness, emptiness, and hopelessness are not foreign to the child of God. There are times in your life and mine where, perhaps through different challenges or circumstances of life, we can have those same feelings. We can sense brokenness. We can sense emptiness. We can sense hopelessness. And perhaps we feel those in relation or in response to some of our own choices. Perhaps tonight you've made some wrong choices that have led your marriage to the end of failure. Perhaps tonight you've made some choices that have led you to the place of giving up. Perhaps tonight you've made some choices, or you've faced some challenges and circumstances that have overwhelmed you to the point of throwing in the towel. Perhaps you've given in to temptation, and now you sense the guilt and the shame of that choice. Jesus, if you will come to Him in repentance and submission, will forgive and cleanse you, providing you with a new start. He is offering you a new start. Will you accept it? He's making all things new. Would you notice, secondly, not only does Jesus offer a new start, Jesus offers a new substance. A new substance. When we are in Christ, Jesus gives a new meaning and a new essence to our lives when we're in Him and yielded to Him. Friends, can you understand this evening that if you know Jesus as your Savior, you must know that Jesus offers you this new substance, this new meaning and essence for life. Knowing Jesus is what brings true, meaningful purpose to our lives that nothing else can bring. Those who do not know Jesus cannot know the true, meaningful purpose of life that we who are children of God can know. You see, life is not just a rat race that you are trying to survive, hopefully comfortably. Those without Jesus cannot have any more purpose in life than that. It's just trying to get through life, trying to do so comfortably. But friends, when you know Jesus, your life is so much more than that. It's not limited to the shallow substance like making money, doing the best you can to get through, leaving some impact on somebody. No, knowing Jesus brings substance that is both present and eternal, both temporal and spiritual, both doable and meaningful. Knowing Jesus brings that to us. There are times in our lives when we may sense a lack of meaning, a lack of essence, a lack of substance. But can I share with you this thought? I think I've shared it with you before. But the reality of our lives is that the only things that are truly a waste of time are the things we do not do for the glory of God. What does the Bible teach us? Whatsoever you do, whether therefore ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Do you understand that even those routine tasks of eating and drinking can bring glory to the God in the life of a Christian? Do you understand this evening that everything you do, you have the ability, you have the privilege of bringing glory to God. So don't go through life thinking you don't have purpose. Don't go through life thinking you don't have meaning. Don't go through life thinking that somehow there's an insignificance there. You can go through life with meaning, with significance, because you have the privilege of bringing glory to God. If you know Christ and are following Him, nothing needs to be waste. Nothing needs to be meaningless. Know Him, yield to Him, and everything He puts in your life will have meaning and purpose because He offers a new substance. Notice number three, Jesus offers a new subject. This is something objective for our lives. When you know Jesus and are committed to Him, He brings you new goals. Something new to reach for. Not only substance in the way of meaning and essence of our lives, but He offers a new subject in the way of objective or goals. Let me ask you, what is your aim in life? What is your purpose? What is it you're striving for? What is it you are reaching for? All of us, even at different stages of life, have some sort of goal. Students, perhaps some have academic goals. Those in the workplace have some vocational goals, perhaps. Retirees would have goals in their lives. What are your goals? And let me ask you this, how does knowing Jesus affect your goals? Jesus is making all things new. He wants to give you a new subject to focus on. He wants to give you some new objectives. He wants you to do your best and give all glory to Him. Whatever you're doing, you can accomplish that. Do your best and bring glory to God. We are teaching our children that truth over and over and over again. I can think of times we teach our girls who are in school, Brooklyn and Evelyn, that every time they come to a test at school, they need to stop before they start that test and ask the Lord to help. And I can remember times listening to Brooklyn in particular pray, and she'll pray something like this: Jesus, help me not to miss anything on my test. And often when I hear that, when she's done, I'll have her pause and I'll say, Brooklyn, remember, it's not about not missing anything. It's about doing your best. That's what brings glory to Jesus. Friends, the same is true in your life. Do your best. Whatever you're doing, bring glory to God. He wants you to know Him and to become more like Him. Are you striving to know Him? Are you seeking Him? Are you pursuing Him? Are you responding to the work He's doing in your life that you might become more like Him? He wants you to grow in Him. He's working in you to accomplish that. He wants you to make Him known, to know Christ. And make Him known. What a purpose mission statement for life. To know Him and to make Him known. Perhaps you need to rearrange your goals to match His. Do you have some goals in life? Do they relate to Christ and the reality that He's making all things new? Perhaps you sit down and you think about goals in different areas of your life at times. Perhaps you sit down with a spouse or with a family member at different times and talk about some different goals that you have. Is Christ at the center of those goals? Perhaps rearranging your goals to match His, to do your best and give all glory to Him, to know Him and to become more like Him, to grow in Him, to make Him known means that you need to establish some routines in your life. Perhaps that would mean getting up a little earlier in the day so that you can pray and read His Word, or sacrifice time that you spend doing something else so you can spend time in worship. Perhaps it means bringing Jesus up at work or with others in whatever circles you may be around. Perhaps it means bringing Him up rather than the party, the game, or the latest song or movie, making Jesus the center of conversation. Perhaps it means giving as much effort as you in that project as you do in what you do for fun. Perhaps it means being a little more selfless than you are right now. Jesus is making all things new. How is it affecting your objectives in life, what you're reaching for, your goals? And if He's not at the center, maybe you need to rearrange some of those objectives and goals. And then let me give you a fourth thought. Jesus offers a new strength. Do you ever feel weak and weary? Tired of going on day by day? Are there times in life where, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, or even spiritually, that you just feel you can't go on anymore? Jesus offers a new strength to do what He has given us to do. Jesus makes all things new. He offers you this new strength. He doesn't leave us to go through life on our own and in our own strength. He gives rest to the weary and strength to the weak. I love His invitation in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto Me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I love the truth that the Bible teaches us that Jesus gives grace for grace. I love the reality that His grace is sufficient for us, that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Like Paul, then, we can glory, therefore, in our tribulations. For when we are weak, then He is strong. I love the promise. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He gives a new strength. He renews strength, grace, and compassion every day, renewing the spirit of His people. He's making all things new. We all need to be reminded of our utter dependence upon God for all things. At times we suffer because we won't admit our need of Him, relying instead on our own strength. God is patient with us, just as every parent is patient with their child. Have you had that experience like I have? And there are times when my children, if if we've been out getting groceries and they want to help bring the groceries in the house. And there are times we have things, bags that are small enough and light enough that they can carry them in, but there are times when, you know, like we go to Lidl and you pack your own bags. And I pack them as full as I can get them because I'm not buying any more bags. And so those bags are stuffed full and they're heavy and the kids want to come to the back of the van and say, Daddy, can we carry something? Daddy, can we take something in? Daddy, we want to help. And I'm thankful that they want to help, but the reality is they can't lift that 40-pound bag of groceries. They just can't. But it's fun to see them try. Sometimes when they beg so hard, I'll go ahead and say, okay, and I'll pull out a bag and I'll put it in one of their hands and it immediately falls to the ground and, Daddy, it's too heavy. Perhaps we've all had that experience. They think they're sufficient even though it's obvious they're not. In his article, He Knows Our Frame, Eric Raymond speaks of that idea when he read Psalm 103:13 and 14, which we quoted this morning, that God knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. And he writes this, I tend to have a much higher, a more inflated opinion of myself than reality. I think I deserve to be treated better, think I've acted better, believe that I will do better. I'm the 4-year-old kid who thinks he can pick up the 50-pound air conditioner out of the trunk of the car, but God is under no such illusion. He knows my frame. He knows how I was formed. He remembers that I am but dust. He knows this because He is my creator. He has infinite knowledge of me and my weaknesses. And the same is true of you. But I'm thankful today that Jesus offers a new strength. He's making all things new. And He offers us the strength we need to do what He wants us to do as He's called us to do right here, right now. Are you thankful that He makes all things new? God makes, He is making all things new. He offers you a new start. Do you need that today? Perhaps you need a new start to life through becoming a child of God. You don't know Christ. I invite you to receive Jesus Christ. He'll accept you and He'll make you new. Perhaps you're a child of God and you need a new start. You've messed up. You've failed. You've given up. Come to Him. Respond in submission and repentance. And He will forgive you and cleanse you and wipe the slate clean. He'll give you a new start. He offers a new substance. When you are Christ, He gives you meaning and purpose. He offers you a new subject. If you're His, you have goals that are meaningful and useful to your life now and eternity. He offers you new strength. If you're weak and weary, Jesus gives you new strength for a new day and new challenges. Depend on Him. Go to Him. Glory in Him who makes all things new. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the truth of Your word. I pray You'd help us to respond as You would have us to. Help us to see that You are the one who makes all things new and how that speaks to our hearts and lives right where we are today. I pray as we look forward to revival services starting next Sunday, Lord, that You would help us to commit to be present and involved. That we would commit to prayer that You might work in a new way, in a great way in our midst, that You would accomplish Your purpose. And that our lack of attentiveness, our lack of desire, our lack of prayer won't hinder You, Lord, but I pray that we would be committed to what You want to do. Help us, Lord, to give You the praise and the glory that You so richly deserve. In Jesus' precious name we pray.